Thank you, Stephen, for those kind words. We appreciate that very much, and we're so thankful for this local assembly. What a blessing to be in fellowship here through good times, and as the choir sang about, even the difficulties of life. This past week, I participated in three funerals, one Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday. Wednesday night, I shared a little bit on the brevity of life. We look around us in the world and we see tragedies occurring on a more and more frequent basis. Lives lost in Paris, lives lost in people fleeing terrorism and drowning in their attempt to get away from what they were going through. We think about this, we think about the value of a soul. The value of a soul. I'm going to ask you to turn just very briefly to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a few comments on just a phrase in a verse there. We will read 1 Peter 1 verses 17 to 19. As we think about the value of a soul and one particular measure of the value of a soul, and the measure of the value of a soul that I would like to just mention from this passage is the cost of the redemption of a soul. The cost of a soul's redemption. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 1, "And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And as Peter reminds those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ of the value of our souls to God. You know, when we went to those funerals, we would be burying, in many cases, the body, the physical part of that person. But the soul and spirit had already departed from that body. And if that individual was a believer in the Lord Jesus, that individual is in heaven with the Lord. If that individual who dies is not a believer, that individual will be separated from the Lord in hell. The Lord Jesus gave His blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the Bible tells us that those of us who know the Lord Jesus have been bought with a price. We're not our own. We've been bought with the precious blood, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. This morning I want us to consider the value of a soul. First of all, this morning I want you to consider the value of your own soul. And then I want you to be reflecting also as we go through this morning. I want you to consider the value of the souls of the people that you know. People who are a part of your life, who you rub shoulders with in some way throughout or through your week. And then I want you just to consider, have on your mind, the value of every soul, because every soul is valuable to God. It's valuable to God. This morning we're going to do something very different. If you're visiting for the first time here this morning, or you're not usually with us, I don't want you to think this is our normal Sunday morning, but it's going to be our Sunday morning today. Value of a soul. This morning I am going to give 30 minutes of my time, and we're going to look at a DVD. It's not really my time, it's your time, I should say. We're going to watch a DVD this morning, and I'm going to tell you more about this DVD when we finish in the few moments that we close. But I will tell you this, it was put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Billy Graham turned 97 on November the 7th of this year. And for the last 3 years, in line with his birthday, they have put out a new evangelistic tool. And this morning, You may be here and never have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. This could be the day, I hope this is the day, that you receive Christ and you're born again and your life is made new and you're forgiven of your sins, because, you see, the Lord Jesus died to purchase you back to God. But for those of us here who do know the Lord Jesus, I trust that we will see in this video and as a tool, because I'm going to talk to you afterwards about how you can get this for your own to share with others. So be thinking about the value of your own soul, the value of the people that you know, their soul, and the value of all people as we watch together this DVD entitled Value of a Soul.
Have you ever thought about what's the most prized possession or the most valuable possession that you own? Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your first car or a TV or a relationship that you have. But have you thought about what it would be like if you lost it?
I was independent and proud of it. I was sure about life, and I knew that I could take on the world.
I was unstoppable, untouchable, and not to be messed with type of guy.
I was in trouble, and I didn't know what to do.
There was a problem. I have all of these things, and suddenly they're losing their value to me.
Sometimes you don't know how valuable something is until it's gone.
I was scared. I didn't know how bad it was going to get.
The Bible says, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
You can spend $6.99, get yourself a good, juicy burger, get you some fries and some onion rings, and that'll be a piece of heaven. Come to Mark's Outing and eat our burger, and if you don't like it, I'll give you all your money back. It ain't the best burger you ever ate. You often see me sometimes when it really gets busy, rushing to the back, throwing on an apron, just beginning to move fast, talk fast. It's just exciting, but when I look back on my life, you know, I've had enemies in my life, a lot of enemies, and it really, really got way out there. I've done things that I'm ashamed to even share. It'd be a club brawl. It'd be a fight. It'd be a shootout. Whatever it took. I had a group of guys, and we wanted to be rappers. Our name, PKO, it was actually like drug weights, you know, like pounds, kilos, ounces. The desire to succeed was at such a high rate that I would have sold my soul to get to the top. We got ourselves in a bunch of hairy situations.
Souls were under my care, and I was in charge of one of Alpha Company's three platoons. Almost every day we were attacked by improvised explosive devices, bombs in the road, bombs in cars, snipers. The injuries were constant and always fearful. On April 6, 2005, woke up and read the intelligence report and said to expect suicide car bombs. And I was kind of upset because that was the same intelligence report we had the day prior, and a soldier was very seriously injured. So So heading out into the city, I just nonchalantly told my squad leader, you know, it's been about 7 months since I saw my wife, and I really miss her. Not even being married a year, we were separated. My first anniversary was spent in a war-torn country in Iraq.
The day he deployed was like, it's so surreal. You go out to this field and you see all the soldiers lined up, and then they load onto these buses and you don't know.
As we were heading out into the city, just on a normal patrol, our mission to find a suicide bomber, was able to speak with my commander. He gave me some intelligence reports that we were getting that, you know, go a little north, told me to stay off the main highways. I spotted a suspicious vehicle, that the back of the car was a little lower than the front. And the rules of engagement said you can't just shoot someone because you're scared. He looked over his shoulder, raised his hands off the steering wheel, and shook his head no.
He's up the car. Now.
He let his foot off the brake.
Stop now.
I then shot 2 rounds in front of his vehicle. And this time, he didn't raise his hands.
My pain wasn't easy to see, it was hidden. I got my first motorcycle when I was probably 9 years old. When I was riding, I could be singing, making up songs, or crying, or screaming, and jumping ditches and stuff like that. My motorcycle didn't care. My parents were going through a really tough time, and as they were fighting, I heard them say that I wasn't planned. It made me question my life, you know, like, was I wanted? Is there a purpose for my life? Like, why am I here? I just caused so much trouble. So outwardly, I was a good kid, but there was the other side of me that was just hurting. When I was 16, I suspected I was pregnant. I took the pregnancy test, and it was positive. I was in trouble, and I didn't know what to do. There was a part of me at that time when I found out that wanted that baby, something of my own to love and maybe give the love that I didn't feel like I was receiving. And yet, I decided to get an abortion. The procedure was done, and when I looked over at the counter, I saw my baby. And I don't know why that happened, other than it'll never go away. I'm never going to forget that day. So I tucked it away. You wipe off your tears, and you get up, and you didn't talk about it again. I didn't realize that I was taking a precious gift and throwing it away.
The Bible says, what should a profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? What do we mean by soul? You see, the Bible says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The soul lives in the body, and it looks out through the eyes, it listens through your ears. We'll never bury the real you. The soul is compared by Christ with the value of the whole world. And if you just took the value of all knowledge, let's say all universities, your soul is worth more than that. Let's say you could take all technology. Your soul is worth more than all the technology of the world. Your soul is more valuable than all the military power in the world. Your soul is more valuable than all the gold, all the world's currencies. One soul is worth more, one soul, than all of the value of the world combined. And a person could wake up one morning and realize that they have gained the world, but they have lost their soul.
It wouldn't be anything for me to have $10,000 to $15,000 in my pocket. It became more than just rap. Now it's really about drugs. Once we got to that situation, things took off. I mean, we began to make a lot of money. Porsches, Benzes, big dookie chains that cost a lot of money, diamond rings, watches, houses. We began to buy very, very popular nightclubs. At that time, I thought, this is it. This is the life. Gaining cars, girls, jewelry. I was having a lot of fun. It seemed like the party was all good. Hanging out with the buddies was all good. But then I'm laying in my bed at night. It's me and my conscience. And my conscience is saying, this is not well. And me thinking, let me go buy something. I buy a Porsche. I get excited for it for a week. But it wouldn't leave me alone that something wasn't right. There was a problem. That thought of not being satisfied, it just wouldn't go away.
I wasn't satisfied with who I was. I was carrying horrible guilt and shame. I didn't spend a lot of time alone with myself because I didn't like the thoughts that came. When everything would catch up with me, I would change my scenery. And I would move away or change the situation or change the relationship. I had my daughters, and 2 divorces later, I was a mess. I really had a desire to make things better. So I did the best I could to try to be a really great mom. As my daughters start to get a little older, I just hit the wall. I came to a point, I think, where I was just tired, and I knew I was falling. It was like having the rug pulled out from under me, and I didn't know what to do next. I mean, I didn't know what other tricks there were that I could try. And so I sent my daughters away with my family, feeling like I wasn't even sure if I was going to see them again, and they don't know that. It felt terrible. But that's how much I was preparing for what was gonna come next. I got on my motorcycle and rode from Cabo, Mexico to the tip of Seattle. The stops along the way were filled with screaming and crying, and no one even knew the depth of it. Someone said to me, "You ride that motorcycle like the devil's chasing you." Well, it was true. I felt worthless. And I just wanted to feel different than that.
I woke up in the middle of the night with the phone ringing, excited, thinking it was Scotty. But instead, it was Scotty's commander on the other line. And he started sobbing. He said, "Tiffany, I'm so sorry. Scotty's been hurt really bad. There's shrapnel in his eyes and in his head. when the doctor called me and he told me, you know, we removed his eye. We're going to probably have to remove his other eye. And that's when I don't even remember the conversation after that. I just sobbed, probably for days.
My world was black. I woke up in Walter Reed Army Medical Center, thousands of miles from where I was supposed to be. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what I was doing. And I realized that I'd never be able to see again.
The President of the United States of America has awarded the Purple Heart to First Lieutenant Scotty Michael Smiley, United States Army, for wounds received in action on 6 April 2005, given under my hand in the city of Washington.
When I was done crying, my grief quickly turned to anger. I thought I had, quote unquote, checked every block to be a Christian, and still God had allowed me to be blinded. I felt God was responsible and that I was going to make God pay somehow, some way. I denied God. I remember one of my best friends coming in the room and asking me to say a prayer. And I said, no, I don't know how to pray, nor do I know who God is. I turned my back on him and I just sunk into depression that I was just a broken man lying in my bed, blind, useless. I felt I had no value.
Why is your soul valuable? The soul is valuable because it's eternal. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, the Bible says, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You may be big and strong, but I want you to know that one day our bodies are going to die. And it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the Bible says, the judgment. We'll have to stand before God. God is going to judge sin. God is a holy God. God has standards, and his standards don't change with culture. Sin is disobedience to God's laws and his standards. You see, the Bible says we have all sinned, come short of God's glory. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You see, our sins separate us. We're estranged from God, but God loves us, and he doesn't want us to be separated from him. He wants us to have fellowship with him, but sin is that barrier. Your sins block the way. So God devised a plan, and what is that plan? That plan is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Jesus Christ took our sins, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Was just running, and I ended up in a small town in South Dakota at a friend's custom motorcycle shop. I was helping him out, and he invited me to church one day, and so I thought, yeah, okay. I mean, I went there with no expectations and actually probably a really horrible attitude about it. The pastor was preaching that day about a heavenly Father that loves you. He doesn't care where you've been or what you've done or how you walk into that church. He just loves you. You don't have to earn it. You just can accept it. I believe that was true and that I could be forgiven, washed clean, and start over. And the transformation and all of that, I wanted it. That day, in a clumsy, awkward, tear-filled way, I invited Jesus into my heart. I felt different inside, and I felt hope rising up. Like a motorcycle, God has transformed and rebuilt me. I have watched him redeem my relationships with my daughters. I'm married now to that friend, Brian. God has blessed me with opportunities to help young girls that were in the same situation I was in. When you really think about the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you, it changes the way you look at everything. I'm a different person. I have worth. Like, I have worth. It's so hard to even put into words. I'm a new person.
You see, the Bible says God does not want to take away life. Instead, he devises ways that a banished person may not remain estranged from him. Why should we be concerned about our soul? All of us have a soul. Every one of us here has a spirit and is either going to be in the presence of God in heaven or you're going to be separated from God in hell. You say, but Franklin, do you really believe in hell? I sure do. God says there's a hell. Jesus preached on hell. The Bible says it's a place of sorrows, sorrowful souls, depression. Millions and millions of souls wailing. Hell is a place of complete darkness. It's a place of unrest. It's a place of memory. You'll remember the opportunities that you had to come to Christ that you rejected. And you said, well, not now, but maybe later. I'm not quite ready for that yet. You have an opportunity. You can settle this once and for all. Is your soul secure in the hands of God?
Well, when you look back on it, there's a hunger in my heart that these things are not filling. That thought of not being satisfied, it just wouldn't go away. I took a liking to a girl, and so I would follow this girl to church. I went to church, and the preacher began to preach about how unless I had this Christ, that I was going to be condemned to hell. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. I was really blown away by that. I was thinking, me? Going to hell? What is this man talking about? You know, growing up in church, Sunday after Sunday, you got a Bible, you dressed up. That's what I thought church was. It's what you do. You put tithes in the basket. It's what you do. And it wasn't that way this time. This time I'm there, and the Lord's allowing me to see my true condition, and my true condition that I was not right with God. That's scary. You know, it's real scary to just think I'm at odds with my Creator. But this particular time, I began to cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me, forgive me, help me. And the glorious thing was God did just that. He awakened me. He opened my eyes. God gave me new life. It moved you to tears to know that the loss that a person has to go through in life sometimes just for God to bring them to that point. And it moves you to tears to know that people are blind, like I was. The only way, the only truth, the only life is found in Christ. He saved sinners, came into the world to save sinners. That's good news.
Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Your soul is valuable because of the price paid for its redemption. Jesus Christ paid for your soul with his blood. And the Bible says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And you say, but why Jesus? Because no one else in history. Only Jesus Christ has taken your sin. He is the one to pay the debt. He paid for it with his blood. He was buried for our sins, and God raised him to life. But here's the thing. You've got to be willing to accept it. You've got to be willing to believe it. And God is patient with us, the Bible says. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but he's wanting everyone to come in repentance. Repent means to turn from your sin. If you come to Christ tonight, you've got to be willing to leave your sins. And you say, but Franklin, you don't know how a hold that sex has on my life. I don't think I can do that. Oh, yes. Christ will give you the strength. He will help you to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God.
I didn't want to ask God to help. And that depression, that just stress and just fear just began to well up because I was making a choice to live life on my own. I got transferred to the Blind Rehabilitation Center where I learned to be as independent as possible. One of the things that I never wanted to give up was physical fitness, going to the gym. I finally was able to work out on my own. One day after finishing workout, looking for the blind center, I got lost. For over a half an hour in the hot 9-degree Palo Alto sun, I tried to backtrack, yelling out loud, is anyone here? But everyone had left. I didn't know what to do, nor where to turn. I just threw my stick down in anger, and I cried out to God in a way in which I had not done in months. Denying God, there was such an emptiness and such a lost feeling that I had never known before. And once I knew that the reason I was lost and the reason that I had no purpose or direction was because I didn't have Christ, I had to repent. I had to ask God to forgive me for denying him. It meant that I was taking responsibility for the choices and the decisions that I made. I realized that God loves me and that God is there for me and that Christ died for me. And I was now able to forgive the man who blew himself up and enable me to have purpose in my life. Christ never leaves, but it's us who make that decision. Do we want to choose Christ or do we not? There was still stress, there was still anxiety, but I truly believed that Christ was carrying me. He was holding me and my wife together. God values my soul so much that Christ died for me, and it gave me a reason to live life with a purpose that will never cease.
I have people sometimes say, Franklin, does God really love me? Yeah, he does. He tells us that he does.
He planned you. There's a plan for your life. There's a reason.
The Lord answers prayer. He hears the prayers.
Like you can be forgiven instantly because of what he did for us.
Through asking for forgiveness from our sins, we are able to fully and truly accept him into our lives.
You know, there's no formula. There's no rituals.
You have to be willing to accept by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him and trusting in him. The choice is yours. You've got to be willing to turn from your sins and invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to your life. If you're willing to do that, God will forgive your sins. He'll heal your heart, and you can have that assurance that your soul is safe and secure in the hands of Almighty God from this night forward and forever for eternity. This is your choice. You have to make this choice yourself.
Is this the spark where it begins? We found freedom from our sins. Is this the place I finally trust? Your presence is enough to speak loud in my darkness. Speak life until I know there's strength for my weakness. Slow down, oh my soul.
Accepting Jesus into your heart, committing your life to Christ is as easy as praying a simple prayer.
You can surrender your life to Christ.
You know, you can cry out to the Lord right now. Today is the day of salvation.
Jesus Christ is alive, and He will come into each and every heart that is willing to trust Him by faith. And you can do that right now. You can just simply just pray this prayer with me. Just say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died on the cross, that He shed His blood for me, and that you've raised Him to life. I'd like to invite Him to come into my heart, to take charge of my life from this moment forward, forever. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen."
That you found that valuable as you're here this morning, and we've been able to spend this time together. And I just want to encourage you again to consider the value of your soul. Maybe as you've heard the gospel presented this morning by these different testimonies and Franklin Graham presenting the word and the scriptures that we've read, maybe your heart has been touched by the Holy Spirit and with the recognition that you need to receive the Lord Jesus. Or maybe it's made you think about some of the people you know. God loves them, and God wants to use you as an instrument, as a tool. We want to equip saints to serve, and part of that service is taking the gospel, the good news, and sharing that with others. Maybe you've even thought about the value of every soul, and people that you don't even know, but people that you would like to try to reach with the gospel. Well, this website that I've got up here, I'm going to leave it for a few moments just as I close with a couple of comments. MyHopeWithBillyGraham.org. You can go to that website, and when you do, probably the first thing that will pop up is the opportunity to order this DVD. You can get one for free. Just go on there and click. It'll give the information. You put down your address, and they'll send you one. No questions asked, no anything. It also gives you the opportunity to order additional copies just for $1 a piece. Obviously, a very well-made DVD, but you can watch it online, too. You don't even have to order it. You can go to that website and actually watch the DVD and some of the other DVDs that they have made about different testimonies and gospel presentations. There's an opportunity to download some material, and there's even a place where you can go and it guides you in preparing to share your own story to share your how you came to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and gives you some direction and how to put that together in a way that you can share with someone else. And so what they encourage you to do, what we encourage you to do is to get a copy of that DVD, and probably the best thing would be to invite them over to watch it with you, or go over to their house or watch it at a lunch break or wherever you might be doing it, at a coffee shop, whatever you could do. And let them watch it, or you could even give them the copy and say, hey, I'd really like you to watch this, and so we could get back together later and talk about it. So value of a soul, the Lord Jesus shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And, you know, I think about this as we close. If I truly appreciate the value of a soul, not just theoretically, not just intellectually, but if I truly appreciate the value of a soul, how will that impact the way that I live my life today, tomorrow, this week, for as much as God gives me upon this earth? And this is definitely not the only way to share the gospel, by no stretch of the imagination, but it is a way that you can do that, and it's a way made available to you. And I encourage you to think again about that website. If you don't have a computer, you don't have any way to order that, you let me know, and I'll be glad to get one mailed to you from them. So we're going to close in prayer. Thank you for your time this morning. I trust that if we could talk to you more about knowing for sure that you're saved, I would love to do that. I'll be out by the front door there. Would appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about how you can know for sure that you're forgiven of your sins. If you'd like more information on any of this, we'd love to do that as well. So let's close in prayer. Father, it's our desire right now to thank you for salvation. Father, we thank you for the testimonies of these three individuals who, Father, recognize their separation from you, recognize the emptiness of their lives, though each in a very different circumstance. Lord, you reach down and save them. And Father, so many of us in this room today could share our stories and how you reached into our lives, and Father, how you showed us our need of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your Son who shed his blood. We thank you, Father, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you but by him. And Father, we thank you for faith. We thank you that this salvation is a gift, not something we earn or deserve, but rather something we receive when we receive your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Father, give us a burden for the hearts and lives of those who do not know you. Father, much has been given to us, much is required. Father, help us to long to share the good news. And Father, if this would be a way that you would have us to do that individually, we pray that we would be faithful to follow through on that. Thank you for this presentation of the gospel. Thank you for everyone here. Again, Lord, we ask you, if there's anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus, that this will be the day they will receive him and be made new. Father, thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother's going to play just a verse of a hymn. Please meditate and reflect on the value of a soul, and then we'll be dismissed.